Amen. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 31 as we continue in our series in the book of Exodus, Free at Last. We're going to read verse 12 to the end of the chapter. Listen to the word of our God. The Lord said to Moses, "You are to speak to the people of Israel and say, 'Above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death. Therefore, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." And he gave to Moses, when he had finished speaking with him on Mount Sinai, the two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray again. Father, we pray now as all of us sit under the authority of your word that you would do that work by the power of your spirit through your word, that you would shape us and form us in the image of your son and our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Last month, I celebrated my 47th birthday. And amen. Thank you. I was grateful to be able to spend the day with family and grateful for all the well wishes and expressions of love through words and gifts. Birthdays, like other celebrations or other special days, are a time that we get to set aside to honor, to encourage, to celebrate, and enjoy a moment of time with our loved ones. And as we participate, we hopefully do so not out of sheer duty, but out of a sincere love for the other person. But for God's people, there is a day that is way more special than our birthdays and other celebrations in which we are at the center. It is like our special days in the sense that we are called to set aside time to honor and celebrate and enjoy and praise another outside of ourselves. But unlike our day, we are not at the center. At the center of that day, which God has set aside for his people, is the Lord God himself. It is his day, a day that the New Testament writers would refer to as the Lord's Day. And while every day belongs to the Lord, God, out of a desire to meet with his people, to teach them who he is and who they are in relationship to him, to draw them back to a proper honor and reverence and awe of him, to show them how to act in mercy and justice and love toward others, to give them the rest and refreshment that they need, God has set aside one day out of every week for this purpose. The Sabbath is the Lord's Day. And placing this passage in connection with the construction of the tabernacle was God's way of reminding his people of the purpose of that day, the purpose of the Sabbath, which was to meet with them, to draw near to them, and to call them to draw near to him. It was the reason that work was to cease for everyone on that day, in order that they might meet with God, centering him and his worship. And in drawing near to God on that day, the people would learn not just how to live before him on that day, but how to live before him on every single day. The Sabbath is the Lord's Day. The Hebrew word for the English word truly here expresses that there is to be no doubt that this day is to be kept unto God. Truly, surely, without a doubt, you shall keep my Sabbaths. Moses was to speak this command to God's people so they would know that this was of special importance to their covenant Lord. And people of God, I want to tell you this morning, it is still of special importance for us For the writer of Hebrews tells us, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. While the writer may have had the final day in mind, that day when all things are made new, the Sabbath points in a special way to that very day that's coming, when we will once and for all be in the presence of our God and King and worship him and be loved by him. Amen, people of God. Why then should we forsake this day or otherwise diminish its importance in our lives individually or corporately? And yet we all feel the pull, don't we, of our own hearts at times, and the pull of the evil one and the pull of the world to treat the Lord's day like we do every other day. We feel the weight of the week past, or we feel the weight of the week coming. And some days we just want to say to God, I'll make it up to you next week. I'm tired, Lord. Or as they would say in the old Baptist church, I'm tired. Tired. I'm tired in mind, in body, and spirit. I'm just going to do me today. Stay home. Or we come. But we are so distracted by our own thoughts, by our longings, our passions, our desires, that we can't really focus on the Lord hardly at all. We're trying to hear the truths of the Psalms. We're trying to care about our neighbor in prayer. We're trying to praise with our whole selves, but we can't because we come into the house of God, but we continue to carry the weights that the Lord tells us to lay on him in worshipful trust. Some of y'all right now, even as I'm preaching, you're thinking about other stuff. Your heart's weighed down by something that happened this week with a family member, or something that happened at work, or something that happened maybe in interaction with one of your neighbors, or maybe driving to church this morning. And it's hard, isn't it? Even in this space, to lay aside your cares, to lay aside your own longings and thoughts and passions and desires, and just focus on the Lord. And let him speak to you and encourage you and strengthen you. We all know it. We all know the pull of our flesh and the pull of the world and the pull of the evil one, even on this day. And so in Sabbath, the Lord wants to take all of that, all of your worries, all of your fears, all of your doubts, all of those longings and passions. He wants to take all of that. He says, come, bring that to me, lay it at my feet, and now listen to me. Speak my word of truth over you today and encourage you. God wants on this day to feed our weary and restless and broken souls. The Lord's day, then, even though changed by virtue of Christ's resurrection to the first day of the week, must still be for us what God commanded it to be for them, a day holy for you. A day holy for you, a day set aside to worship the God and King who has won your salvation. Amen, people of God. So how do we keep this day holy for us? In the text, God points twice to the Sabbath as a sign. That is, the Sabbath points toward something. And I want to encourage us from this text regarding some of the things that this day, the Lord's day, the Sabbath, points toward. I want to, first of all, tell you this morning that the Sabbath points toward or points to our identity as the Lord's people. Listen again to verse 13. You are to speak to the people of Israel and say, above all, you shall keep my Sabbath, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you, that I, the Lord, have set you apart to be my own people. While Israel's choosing would be traced back to their forefather Abraham, the immediate referent of their being set aside for God would have been their deliverance from Egypt. God, in setting them free from slavery in Egypt, had rescued them from Pharaoh's cruel service into his restorative, refreshing, and repurposing service. In covenant with God, Israel would now be, as he proclaimed, my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. You want to talk about restoration and refreshment and purpose? How about being set apart by God as indicated in those verses? No longer slaves, but treasured. No longer second-class citizens in someone else's kingdom, but a kingdom themselves. No longer considered a threat to another's well-being, such that they were set apart for oppression and destruction, but now considered holy and worthy of use. What is clear from this text is that the Sabbath would be a day in which God's people would be reminded of this very reversal of their fortunes. Every Sabbath, they would be reminded that in covenant with God, they were no longer what Egypt had declared them to be, but what the true king over all the earth was now declaring them to be in covenant with him. You are not slaves, you are my people. The Sabbath, then, the Lord's day, is a reminder of our new identity. Our new identity and relationship with God. It's a reminder that we are not what we were when we were slaves, but what we are now that we are free. And I love the word language of the New Testament. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. You were that. You are now this in the Lord. Or consider that at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. But wherever and whatever we were, we are now those who know that God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The Sabbath is for all the words in the house, all the words in the world, all those who know what you used to be, but what you now are in God. Some of y'all know that, and some of y'all are worthy to give God praise, because as you think about what you used to be and what you used to think and what you used to say and how you used to behave, and now who you are in God, in Jesus Christ, you can say, amen, thank God, praise the Lord. We are now the Lord's people. And the Sabbath, the Lord's day, you hear that again, it's his day, but on his day, he reminds you of who you are. Yes. Oh, yeah. Amen, people of God. Yeah. We are now the Lord's people, and the Sabbath is a reminder to us, pointing us week to week to that truth, and to the day when we won't have to be reminded again, because we will be in the presence of our great triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's where it's all headed. And so in Sabbath, we're reminded that we are the Lord's people, sanctified by him, set apart by him. And being reminded of this each week, the call is to live into that identity both on this day and on all the days of the week. What this means is that we are actively seeking to throw off those ways of thinking and speaking and living that are opposed to this new identity that we have in relationship with our God through Jesus Christ. Those fruits of darkness that we set aside on Sundays during our worship and fellowship must be set aside during the week as well. In other words, we shouldn't be people during the week who are found to be participating in sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. We should not be found doing those things during the week. Just like we're called to not be found doing them on the Lord's day. And that identity which is affirmed every Sunday morning when God invites us into worship should manifest itself in all of our interactions during the week. And when we fail, which we will at times, we should be those who demonstrate that we are the Lord's people through repentance and renewed commitment to doing the good God calls us to. All I'm saying is that what God proclaims about himself and about us in relationship with him should be received on this day and lived out every day. And we must help each other through prayer and fellowship and service to one another. The Lord's Day, the Sabbath, points to our identity as the Lord's people. We belong to him. We are his. The Sabbath also points to our entry into the Lord's solemn rest. Listen again to verses 15 and 17. 6 days you shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on that Sabbath day shall be put to death. And then verse 17, it's a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. God's people were commanded to pattern their lives around a principle rooted in God's own act, recorded again for his people in verse 17. God's resting and being refreshed, however, was not about God's growing tired or his need for a break. God is the everlasting God who does not grow tired or weary and whose understanding, the Bible says, is unfathomable. No, God rested because his work was finished and perfectly good. There was nothing to subtract or add to or enhance what he had done. Indeed, God's self-testimony on each completed day was that his work was good. The point then is that our resting on the Sabbath, though certainly an opportunity to be physically and mentally and emotionally refreshed, is not simply or solely about that. Yes, it includes that for sure. For we are physical beings in a fallen world, and our bodies and our minds and our spirits need rest and refreshing. God knows this, and it's encompassed in this command to Sabbath. But the greater point in our resting on this day is the demonstration of our trust in the finished and good work of our God. When we Sabbath, we declare that our trust is not in what our hands can produce, but what the hands of God has already produced for us. We declare that with God, nothing is lacking. That with him, no good thing will be kept back from those who trust in him. We declare what Jesus declared to the adversary in the garden. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. We live because of the faithfulness of God. We live because he has acted on our behalf. And what he has done is perfect and good and demonstrates that he can be trusted above all. And so I can enter into this day, not only into this day, but into every day without fear or worry, knowing that the good God will be good to me on this day and every day because he is the source of everything good in my life and he is the source of all of my provision. So I can come and rest and Sabbath and trust that everything I need will be provided by God. I do not have to worry. I do not have to fret. I do not have to be filled with anxiety. I can trust that everything I need, God will provide it. Sabbath is about trust. It's about trust in what God himself does, not what we do. See, the problem is we want to believe that our hands are what produces the good things in our life. But God says, rest on this day and learn that everything good that you get comes from me. And that God's rest is about faith can be clearly seen in the words of the writer of Hebrews, who says this: therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. The people of Israel saw God open a Red Sea, allow them to walk through on dry ground. They watched God provide bread from heaven every day. They watched God provide meat for them through the quail. And yet, when their cupboards got low, they started saying, man, we wish we were back in Egypt, because at least we had some leeks and some onions. At least we had some leeks and some onions. So you know what, man? It would be better if we were back there. Never mind that we were slaves. We had something to eat. Y'all don't know nothing about that, right? Because you don't want to go back to the way it used to be ever. So I'm not talking to New City. I'm talking to this. There's some people down the street that need to hear this message. So when I get through preaching, y'all can take it down there to them. It was not united with faith. In other words, they did not believe that the God who was leading them could also provide for them. Not just once, not just twice, not just three, four times, but every day. And the question for us is, do we believe that our God can and will provide such that we are enabled on this day to rest and to trust our God for all our provision? Amen, people of God. And so the call here really is to faith. The whole idea of not working on the Sabbath was about trust. It was about trust. It was about saying, I can stop producing on this day, knowing that God will provide for me and my family, as well as for the whole community. I can give rest to others because my well-being and theirs does not ultimately rest on what my hands can produce, but on the promises of God who made us and everything in this world. And so as we enter into this day in the new covenant, we are called to the same trust, the same reliance on the faithfulness of God. We can enter into his rest, ceasing from our labors of producing for our own good, trusting his goodness to provide for us and through us for the sake of others. And the question for you really this morning is, do you trust God? Do you believe that he is the ultimate source of your good? Do you believe that your life is truly in his hands, that you really live because of every word that comes out of his mouth? Versus what your hands can produce. Because before we ask those specific questions about can we work on Sundays and what can we do when our jobs demand us to do so, what kinds of recreations can we participate, we need to ask that fundamental question. Do I trust God? Do I trust my God such that I can enter into this day not thinking about my own good, but his good, because I trust that my good is covered by him? And if I can trust him on this day so that I use it to celebrate and worship him, love my neighbor, show hospitality, then I can trust him on every other day as well. So do you trust the Lord? Is your faith and dependence upon him, or is it upon what your hands can produce? The Sabbath points to our identity as the Lord's people. It points to our entry into the Lord's solemn rest. It also points to the permanence of the Lord's covenant. The permanence of the Lord's covenant. Listen again to verses 14 and 16. You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Therefore, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, verse 16, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. The Sabbath was to be treated with a solemnness that fits its importance in the lives of God's people. It was to be taken seriously by all, which is the point behind the severity of the punishment for violating it. As a sign of God's sanctifying purposes in the lives of his people, it was to be treated with care. To profane something is to do the opposite, to treat it with disrespect and lack of care. But why are they to take it seriously, to treat this day with care? It's because it is a sign of God's covenant relationship with his people. He set the day aside as a perpetual reminder of his covenant with them, a covenant that he would not break, even though some of them would and would miss out on the blessing of God as a result. But for those who believe the Sabbath, the Lord's Day, is to be celebrated from generation to generation until the Lord comes. This is why it's important, brothers and sisters, to teach the truths of who God is to each successive generation and to train them in what it means to set this day apart for the Lord. This was not just a day for the adults to draw near to God. It was a day for the children to draw near to God as well. This is why Jesus rebukes his disciples for trying to keep children from drawing near to him, saying, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and went away. I'm thankful for our children's Sunday school program. Thank you, Renee. Thank you, Aaron, wherever you are. I'm thankful for that program here at New City and for the ways we are trying to think creatively about our children's participation in worship via song and hopefully other ways in the future. But we must also consider our youth and our young adults. So I'm thankful as well for our youth group. So thanks to Steve and Liz Van Stenford, my wife and Subin, who started it or restarted it. I'm thankful. And the point being that this day is not just a day for one generation, either age-wise or time-wise. It is for every generation. It is a perpetual reminder until we are with God once and for all time, from every tribe, people, language, nation. What a great encouragement to our faith that God's covenant with us is not temporary, but from generation to generation. As God told Abraham and fulfilled in Jesus Christ, "And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you." Listen to me. God's covenant with you, if your faith is in Jesus, is forever. And nothing and no one can break it. Did you hear that? His covenant with you is forever. And nothing and no one can break it. I know what Satan whispers in your ear. I know he tells you, "You had a bad day today, bro. And God is reconsidering whether or not you should be one of his." But you know what the word of God comes back and says? "You are in my hand, yes, 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 and nobody can snatch you out." Yes, yes, yes. So I want to take this opportunity to thank our Sunday school teachers who have labored to teach our children over these years the truths of who God is and who they are in him. I also want to take time to encourage us to continue to work to pass down the truths of who God is to our youth and our young adults, giving them opportunity to serve the Lord on this day. This day is for all of God's people, and it's for generation to generation. And should the Lord tarry, as they say, then it's for the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. And the day is coming, of course, where what the Sabbath represents will be fully enjoyed in the new heavens and the new earth, where there is no separation due to sin between the Lord and his people. In the meantime, we are to pass on this commitment to set aside the Lord's day for the Lord's purposes, to train up our children, our youth, in this commitment to this day. And so where appropriate, let us encourage our children and our young people to participate in this day. And let's set an example before each generation to our congregation that frees everyone up to participate fully, as fully as possible in the worship of God on this day. Let's also keep thinking about issues of accessibility that looks at our ministry and considers ways to make the celebration of our God on this day possible for everyone in New City. God's covenant with us is not a temporary covenant, it's a permanent one. And it's for every generation in terms of age and every generation in terms of time. So let's worship him, making it possible for everyone to do so to the glory of God. Amen, people of God. So how do we keep this day holy? We keep it holy by remembering first and foremost that it's the Lord's day. It's his day. It belongs to him. He has set it aside that we might worship him and serve him on this day. It belongs to him as a special day in which we draw near to him and he to us in praise and worship and rest. And specifically, we keep it holy by remembering in our actions that the Sabbath points to the truth that we are the Lord's people, that we have entered into his solemn rest, and that we are the recipients of the Lord's permanent covenant relationship. We all have this because of Jesus Christ, our Lord. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, our King. What a powerful name it is. Amen, people of God. Let's pray. Father, we give you praise and glory and honor and thanks. You are so good. You are so good, God. We worship you. We praise you. We lift up your name. Thank you, indeed, that you have set aside this day to remind us of the truth of who you are, to remind us that we are your people, to remind us of the rest that you have established for us, and to remind us that your covenant with us is forever through Jesus Christ, our King. I pray that your people in this room would know that, would cling to that, and I pray, Lord God, that we would walk out into this world and proclaim the truth of that good news to others, that they might also enter into your rest, enter into knowing who you are, and enter into being a part of your covenant people. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.